This is Agriculture Today.
Well, I'm not looking to renew it. I made the deal. And the primary reason I made the deal is that NAFTA was the worst trade deal I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I made it better, but I had the right to terminate.
Speaking to reporters in the Oval Office, President Donald Trump.
You know, with NAFTA, we didn't have the right to terminate. I had to get these senators to approve that deal. That was a tough thing, Congressman, too. NAFTA had no termination. So, I mean, I've never said this before, but I'll tell you what my thinking was. NAFTA was a disaster for our country. The worst trade deal ever made, by far. You know, they had typos in, okay? And they were supposed to correct them. And they never corrected them when they were signed. They knew there were typos. And there's a process for that. You state your claim and, you know, you get a change. They had typos on percentages. Or maybe somebody wrote, and that was for years. They never ran that horrible all against us. So it probably wasn't typos. They never, NAFTA was the worst trade deal we ever had. USMCA did one thing that I loved. After 6 years, it comes up for renewal. I don't know that I'm going to renew it because, to be honest with you, United States is much better. Hey, we don't need anything that Canada has. We don't need anything that Mexico has, but they need everything that we have. And they have to treat us better. You know, with Mexico and Canada, we have trade deficits. We should have surpluses with them. We don't need their cars. We don't need their lumber. We don't need their energy. We don't need anything that they have. So the primary thing that I got, it was a much better deal than NAFTA. Much, much better. It was sort of a good deal. But it was a great deal for one reason. It gave the right to terminate. And who would have thought that I was, you know, they just didn't want to have it during the four-year period when I was president.
Now, speaking of trade, U.S. ethanol exports slowed in April, but remained ahead of last year's pace. It keeps an important demand outlet in place for corn producers and ethanol plants. Renewable Fuels Association says April exports totaled 171.6 million gallons. It was the first monthly total below 200 million gallons in 6 months. Canada remains the top buyer, 64.8 million gallons. European Union shipments fell to just over 34 million. A bright spot, South Korea purchases climbing 57% to a four-year high. Philippines, United Kingdom, Peru, Mexico, Nigeria, and Colombia also remained active buyers, but Brazil and India largely absent. Farm families operating through LLCs, S-Corps, and other pass-through entities may need to review business structures quickly under USDA's new payment limit rule. Roger McCohen with Washburn University says the rule took effect June 2nd. Final rule implements changes from the One Big Beautiful Bill Act for the 2026 program year. Qualified pass-through entities can now stack certain payment limits based on the number of owners actively engaged in farming. That puts LLCs and S-Corps closer to the treatment long available to general partnerships and joint ventures. Tentative ARC and PLC payment limit, $164,000 per qualifying active owner. It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
You know, these are two or three of probably the biggest provisions that were in the One Big Beautiful Bill.
Richard Fordyce is Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation at USDA.
When we looked at payment eligibility for entities for so many years, because Congress had not called them out specifically, we treated some business entities differently than we did others if they had multiple members. So as a matter of fact, LLCs, S corporations, for example, were obviously an eligible entity, but they were limited to a single pay limit. But we had other entities, you know, joint ventures, general partnerships, et cetera, that were treated differently, and they were called a pass-through entity because the payment limit could pass through to multiple members. So if that entity qualified for more than one payment limit, then that could pass through to multiple members. So with the One Big Beautiful Bill, they did specifically call out LLCs and S corporations specifically to be considered in that group of other types of entities that would be considered pass-through. The one caveat to that, Tony, is that the members, in order to be eligible for additional pay limits, have to be actively engaged in the farm. So they have to either provide management, equipment, labor, capital. So they have to meet two of those standards to be considered actively engaged. And, you know, the folks, your listeners are going to know when I say actively engaged, they're going to know what I'm talking about. And I know you do as well. But that is one of the things that we are including in this, additional pay limits is that member of the entity that could be eligible for an additional pay limit, is actively engaged. There was a payment limitation increase, and so for a number of years, and I don't know how far back this dates, I should remember, but that payment limit per entity had been $125,000. And, you know, these are for programs like the ARC and PLC program, our primary safety net programs. The payment limit, the new payment limit, that has been updated through the One Big Beautiful Bill now is $155,000. And I think the interesting thing that Congress did with this legislation is, you know, not only did they raise it from $125,000 to $155,000, but the $155,000 will annually be indexed for inflation. And so when we, you know, historically we think about payment limits as being static, now that payment limit will be adjusted depending on inflation. So, you know, likely that payment limit goes up, you know, a little bit each year. So a lot of the things that I have heard commodity organizations and farm groups and really just frankly farmers that are friends and neighbors, you know, we've talked about, you know, for years, raising the reference prices. Well, they did that in the One Big Beautiful Bill. You know, the payment limit kind of was an issue, and they did that in the One Big Beautiful Bill. What we talked about equitable treatment for eligible entities, they did that in the One Big Beautiful Bill. So just a lot of work to get a lot of these provisions implemented, but I think we can see the light at the end of the tunnel now, Tony.
It's Agriculture Today.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Ag News now. Agriculture Today.
Right now, from a national kind of consumption, our consumption and consumer want for beef is higher than milk.
Philip Lancaster is a beef cattle nutritionist at Kansas State.
So balancing the whole cattle herd to better balance milk and beef production by having some dual purpose type of systems could be a way as we move forward. If, I mean, obviously somebody's got willing to try it, but
well, you youngsters.
Dr. Brad White is director of the Beef Cattle Institute at Kansas State.
That actually used to be done. You know, the old milking shorthorn production system was done in the past and could be done again with the right market sources. And I would say that this beef on dairy phenomena that we're seeing is an attempt to kind of maximize both beef and milk production, at least from the dairy industry. So,
but I guess one of the things I don't see, we're going to use some more beef semen in dairy cows, but I don't see us increasing the number of dairy cows in the country.
Probably
because
not,
we don't have a need for more milk.
Right.
So balancing that by having cows that produce some milk above what the calf needs, but not as much. So then we still have more cows to produce more calves, to produce more beef. It's a balancing act of between milk and beef as the type of genetics and breeds of cows
see that happening
in
the
dual
short
purpose
term,
system.
But looking out, as soon as you try to look out 20, 30 years, it gets pretty hazy. Who's to know all the different factors? But the interesting thing is, from a biology standpoint, that system used to exist. If necessary to meet changing demands, cows are amazingly diverse. They can fit in lots of different production systems. They can have different levels of milk production, different levels of calf production. And over time, responding to, you know, whatever is the most limiting factors or whatever is abundant, I think the cattle industry will change over time. I just have a hard time predicting exactly how.
But we haven't traditionally looked at it that way. I mean, the poultry industry, you know, you got layers and you've got broilers and you're balancing egg production versus meat production. We haven't traditionally looked at cattle that way, but cattle are the same way. You get two human consumable products from that species. And maybe going forward, one of the things we need to think about as a industry from both beef and dairy is balancing the animal
product
numbers and the genetics to get the right balance of milk and beef production from that species.
Dr. Bob Larson with Kansas State.
The beef dairy calves, and there's 5 to 6 million of those coming online that come in. One thing that is an advantage is more homogeneity among those calves. So they have similar sires, similar offspring, uniformity, which in our beef herds, because of the size of many of our beef herds, it's hard to maintain that same level of homogeneity when they come into a feed yard or a scenario where you're going to feed them, especially as and they grow apart, right? And if we have longer length of a feeding period, you're going to have more variation in those groups, which we've tried to handle with sorts or putting them into different groups and finish dates and all of those sort of things. But there's some things there that we could think about taking advantage of, and poultry is pretty homogeneous. Pork, a lot closer to uniformity than what we see in some of our beef herd across the country.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
Look, remember when I did this, I said, look, the one bad thing will be we hit the best economy we've ever hit.
Speaking to reporters in the Oval Office, President Donald Trump.
And I said to my people, I had Scott, I had Howard, I had Pete, I had all of them. I had Todd in the room. I said, the one thing we have to do now, we had just hit the highest stock market in history, highest 401ks in history. Everything was going well. And I said, I hate to do this to you guys, but Iran's going to have a nuclear weapon very soon. We have to go and attack. So we hit them with the B-2 bombers. Now we had to make the second move. And I said, you know, the bad part is the stock market will go down by a lot based on predictions of experts, like 25%. And it was worth it. To me, it was worth it not to have a nuclear weapon. And the other thing is that oil would go to $250 a barrel. It's at 85. And here's the key. We just hit today another stock market high. At 74, in my short time here, 74 days we hit stock market all-time historical highs. Nobody can believe it. The Dow, the S&P. S&P was at 7,000. They said in 4 years, maybe 5 years. It will never hit it during the term. It was too much. I hit it in my first year. I hit on the Dow. It was 50,000 was an impossible number. They said 5-6 years out, you'd hit. Well, I hit it in my first year. And now I get everyone in the room and say, congratulations, but now I'm going to take it down a little bit because we cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon. And they all agreed with me. Todd, you remember. Everybody agreed. And we took a little journey down to Iran. We first stopped off at Venezuela, by the way. And we have paid for that war many, many times over. And we have great relationships with the people of Venezuela. We get along with them great. It was a great success. It was a one-day war. It was really, to be exact, 48 minutes of fury. And it was over. And Venezuela is doing great. Essentially, we've done the same thing. It doesn't look as pretty, but there's no Navy. 159 ships at the bottom of the sea. There's no Air Force. All of their planes are blown up. Most of their drones are gone. Most of their drone-making ability is gone. Most of their missiles are gone. All of their leadership is gone, so they replaced it. All of that leadership is gone, so they replaced it. And that's the people we're dealing with now. And I think they're going to want to make a deal, but we're going to find out.
Inflation to come down between now and November.
When the war is over?
Yes.
It's coming down.
I know you can't.
It's going to come down like a rock. And again, we're taking out millions, which I'm just announcing today for the first time. But we've been taking out millions of barrels of oil. Millions of barrels. Every night we took out oil. But now I'm going to tell you because they just figured it out. So now that they figured it out, I can tell you. It was very hard for me. I wanted to say it so badly, but I didn't want to ruin it. But it was very hard. But millions of barrels of oil has come out. And that's why it's at $85, $90 a barrel instead of $250. But we have the greatest military in the world, the toughest military in the world, just the best in every way. Nobody even close. There's no military that's even close. I rebuilt it during my first term. I'm using it now. When this conflict is over, you will see oil drop to where it was before. We're getting gasoline. Just before it started, I was in Iowa, and we passed gas stations, $1.85 a gallon.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Why is China buying any at all in the first place? And that is to get concessions from President Trump.
Arlen Suderman is chief commodities economist with StoneX.
You see, China's economy is struggling, and Xi Jinping wants another term in office. He needs the strong support of the leadership of the Communist Party to do that. The leadership of the Communist Party is very involved in the business affairs of China, in the various industries of China. If they're not exporting products, if they're not making money in business, then they want to change in policy. So he needs their support. So he committed to 25 million metric tons of soybeans plus another 17 billion in other ag commodities for the coming year and the years after that each year. Why would he do that? Okay, 17 billion. Let's take that latest May deal, 17 billion in ag products beyond the soybeans. Do you know what it's worth to the U.S. consumer market? Right now, exports to the United States to U.S. consumers are at $300 billion. It used to be above $500 billion. So buying some high-cost U.S. soybeans is a rather cheap trade-off if he gets better treatment from President Trump on what comes into the United States in consumer goods. That's his incentive. That's why he would do it. So the purchase of soybeans would be for political reasons, not for economic reasons. Now, other products the U.S. has, maybe more fairly competitively priced going into China, particularly if the 10% tariffs are taken off. U.S. corn is very competitively priced into China right now. Other products could be as well. But with soybeans, it's all about politics. And so what will China do? We're trying to predict politics rather than economics. That makes it a challenge, but it has huge implications for the balance sheet and for the potential price you get at the farm for your soybeans. Now, how would this work? Well, since the crushers have no incentive to buy higher priced soybeans, it would all have to be bought by Sinograin, the state grain buying agency, to be put into their reserve. Okay, fine. But we believe, we see evidence that the reserve is basically full. So in order to buy those soybeans to put into the reserve, they'd have to make room in their reserve by auctioning off soybeans, older soybeans in their reserve already to make room for them. Those soybeans would have to be auctioned off at a price cheaper than what they could be bought from Brazil. So roughly a dollar a bushel cheaper than what Chinese crushers could buy from Brazil and Argentina. So Brazilian soybeans are not competing against U.S. soybeans. They're competing against reserve soybeans if that were to happen. And so the job of the marketplace then would be to rearrange the world supply, because we have no shortage of soybeans in the world. So we would have to ration U.S. demand, because there wouldn't be enough soybeans to supply our biofuel program and 25 million metric tons to China, unless we got a huge crop this coming year that's well beyond anyone's expectations. And it would be to cheapen Brazilian soybeans enough to make them economical enough for regular U.S. other non-China U.S. customers to switch to Brazilian origin to get their beans from there, and even to make it worthwhile the arbitrage to import Chinese soybeans into the United States.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Optimizing overhead for dairy profitability.
Ben Lane, a senior dairy analyst with Terrain.
The cost of producing milk fell in 2025, but not across the board. Operating costs fell while overhead increased, which tends to disadvantage smaller farms. Managing overhead may be the best strategy on the cost side to improve a farm's profitability. Milk cost of production estimates for 2025 were recently released by the USDA Economic Research Service. The numbers represent averages and extrapolations based on a survey completed in 2021, but the trends within those averages reveal telling divergences among the cost structures of different size operations. The distinction between operating costs and overhead is important. The differing trends have been developing for several years. How a farm handles these costs through either operating efficiency or the ability to spread overhead efficiently across a herd can explain why farms experience varying degrees of profitability. Total costs peaked, along with milk prices luckily, in 2022 at an average of $27.34 per hundredweight. They have fallen each year since to $20.37 per hundredweight in 2025. But breaking those costs into operating costs and overhead reveals that total allocated overhead has continued to climb each year from $8.77 per hundredweight in 2022 to $9.62 per hundredweight in 2025, while total operating costs have fallen from $18.57 to $13.75 over the same period. The categories that climb the most within overhead are labor costs, capital recovery costs, the cost of replacing capital used up in production over the year, plus the interest remaining capital could have earned if invested elsewhere, and taxes and insurance. Within the labor cost category, there is a telling divergence between the opportunity cost of unpaid and hired labor. Hired labor is the wages that are paid to employees. The opportunity cost of unpaid labor represents the wages that could have been earned by operators and family members working on, but not taking a salary from the farm. This opportunity cost, while economically important, is often not directly accounted for, but it represents possibly the starkest difference across farm sizes. On farms with fewer than 50 cows, which rely heavily, sometimes completely, on unpaid family labor, the opportunity cost equates to $17.60 per hundredweight. On farms with 2,000 or more cows, the opportunity cost is only 10 cents per hundredweight. Able to allocate that overhead across a bigger volume of production, larger operations can reduce the overhead cost per hundredweight of milk. Farms that cannot spread that overhead across more milk production suffer disproportionately from these rising costs. Farms benefit from improving operational efficiency as well, but those operating costs have been falling, making the rewards less dramatic. Additionally, farms across all scales and geographies are already operating at a consistently efficient level. There is much wider variance for overhead across different farm sizes than for operating costs. The smallest farms, those with fewer than 50 cows, had a total allocated overhead of $30.96 per hundredweight in 2025, while farms with 2,000 or more cows had only $5.96. Operating costs, meanwhile, had a much tighter range from $16.37 to $12.69 per hundredweight. These costs represent averages.
That's on the expense side, but on the revenue side is beef on dairy crosses. Dr. Philip Lancaster, Kansas State.
You know, we've seen an increase in the beef dairy cross calves, right? And that cow is much more efficient in using resources when she produces two outputs, milk and calf. And so I've wondered, and, you know, obviously somebody's got to be willing to try this and take it on, but more of a dual purpose system. You know, maybe we're not using Holsteins that are producing 100 plus pounds of milk a day, but we're using some crossbreeds that produce more milk than a calf needs, and we can grow that calf by letting him nurse part of the day, and we separate him or something, you know, when we milk the cow part of the time, whatever, but we do more of a dual purpose system.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.